Okay, we are starting Gerit HaRamban. We are on chapter 7. And the Ramban tells us, Ekev anava yirat chet. The heel of humility is fear of Hashem. The heel of humility, which is the lowest part of humility, is yirat Hashem. Interesting. Think about this. The word used is heel. Ekev, right? And we know the heel is something usually people stamp on. So the heel of humility is yirat Shemaim. When a person has humility, he's above Yirat Shemaim. He's above Yirat Hashem. A humble person is above Yirat Hashem. So, Chokhmah is below Yirat Hashem. Wisdom, right? Reshit Chokhmah, Yirat Hashem. The head of Chokhmah is Yirat Shemaim. The person is learning to get to Yirat Shemaim. Above Yirat Shemaim is humility. Ekev anava Yirat Chet. Periplai. Think about it. So, think about three people standing one on top of the other. The top one is Anava. The middle one is Yirat Hashem. And the bottom one is Chokhmah. Chokhmah leads to Yirat Hashem. And the Ekev Anava is Yirat Hashem. Amazing. So Anava is one of the highest levels. Anava is the highest levels. We're going to see how Anava is so high. And what is Yirat Hashem? We'll see. If Yirat Shemayim is the heel of Anava, so must be there's a linkage between the two. When a person has Yirat Shemaim, they're basically what they're doing is, and this is what we talked about the sacrifice of Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is, we are all like Yitzhak Avinu. It's brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Ashkenazi custom of at least 4 days of Selichot. He says one of the sources is to check the animal when they bring a korban. They had a place in the Beit HaMikdash where they would keep the animals for a couple of days to observe them and see if they have a mum, if they have a blemish or not. So he said the Ashkenazi custom of saying Selichot at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah is based on this idea of cleaning out all the blemishes of a person. So we see over here the blemishes of a person are inside the person. And the Selichot is, the point of the Selichot is to help us do Teshuvah and clear up the blemishes. To help us clear the blemishes. So we have to also, during this time, we have to try and get to this level of Yirat Shemaim. What is Yirat Shemaim? So Yirat Shemaim is taking our wishes and changing them into Hashem's wishes. So that is the sacrifice. The sacrifice on Rosh Hashanah, we are the sacrifices. Instead of Yitzchak, we are the sacrifices. What do you mean we are the sacrifices? We are sacrificing our own will in front of Hashem. So a person says, you know, I really want to do this. Hashem says, do that. I'm going to take my will and change my will into Hashem's will. That is the sacrifice of Rosh Hashanah. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to change our ways to God's ways. So I want to do this. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a scientist. I want to be this. Okay, but first I have to learn Torah. So I want to change my will, make more time for Hashem, make more time for Torah, make more time for other things, for holy things, for spiritual things. So a person may not naturally tend to that. So you're changing your nature, you are sacrificing yourself. That's called Mesirat Nefesh. Mesirat Nefesh is a person is sacrificing their wills and their wishes before Hashem. And that is similar to Akedat Yitzhak. It's interesting, Akedat Yitzhak, the Yitzhak Avinu was willing to go to the Akedah. The Midrash says he went willingly. Not only did he go willingly, but he went with joy, which is very hard to understand. You know, the guys, he asked his father, he says, where's the sheep? The father says, don't worry, Hashem will provide. So he's 37 years old. You don't think he knows what's going on? Of course he knows what's going on. Then his father puts him on the, he builds this altar, and he puts him on the altar, and he says to his father, the Midrash says, tie me up tight, daddy. I don't want to move and make myself pasul. Korban pasul. It's very strange. But we know that if he's doing his korban with a bad countenance, with depression, he's not the same level as doing with simcha. So we said the highest level, my brother was talking about this on Sunday. So Victor Miller says, how do you prepare for Rosh Hashanah? So normally they'll tell you three things. What are the three things? Tefillah, which is tzaka, right? Tzom, fasting, and teshuva, and mamon, tzedakah, tefillah, teshuva, tzedakah, ma'avim ruach ha-gezerah. They break the gezerah. Rabbi Miller says no. I'll give you another point. He says when you do a mitzvah, do it with simcha. The avodah before Rosh Hashanah is take the mitzvah you have and do it with joy. So the person says, you know what? I got to get up for minyan. Okay, I'm going to get up. No question, I'm going to get up. Are you getting up with joy or getting up? Well, I have to get up. I'm going to push myself to get up. But are you doing it with joy or not? So joy is the key. Joy is the key to Avodat Hashem. Why? Because a mitzvah with joy is worth 1,000 times a mitzvah with no joy. 1,000 times. Imagine. It's the joy we add. It's a value added to the mitzvah. So you do the mitzvah anyway. Do it with happiness. And there's many mitzvah we do at home, which are chesed. Yeah, you're married. You can put out the garbage with a bad face, or you can put out the garbage with joy. So I'm doing a mitzvah with my wife. You can put the dishes in the dishwasher with happiness, or you can put it with a bad face. You clean up the house a little bit, make it tidy with happiness or not. So all you can go shopping for your wife. It's before Rosh Hashanah. Women are really working hard now. So you can do it with shopping with joy, or you can do shopping with joy. Ah, I got to do it because she said to do it. So first you do the mitzvah with joy. So genuine humility is very simple. Yirat Shamayim. What's Yirat Shamayim? Taking one's will and changing it to Hashem's will. To do that, a person's going to say, I know less than Hashem. Why would the son listen to his father? And that's trouble today. Today, they have a problem. Why? Chutzpah yizge. Today, we're living in a world where there's too much chutzpah. The children know more than their parents. They think they know more than their parents. They think they know more than their teachers, and therefore they don't want to listen to their teachers. Why should I? Why should I do that? I know more than my father. My father said, do that, I'll do something else. Why? Because no humility. So humility leads, is the higher level than Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim makes you change your will because you fear Hashem. Humility is, I know I'm less than Hashem. I didn't change my will. I'm much less than Hashem. I know, so Hashem's will is much greater than my will. It's a very beautiful idea. Humility is the highest level. Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar says, this is a Gemara in Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi. The quality which wisdom considers to be its crowning glory. What is the most crowning glory of wisdom? Reishit Chokhmah, Yirat Hashem. Yirat Hashem is the crowning glory of wisdom. It is the highest level of wisdom is Ekev Anava, Yirat Chen, is the Ekev of Anava. Imagine the highest level of wisdom, the head of wisdom reaches the feet of Anava. That's where Yirat Shamayim is. Between the two, between the feet of humility and between the head of wisdom. Amazing. So therefore, a person say, amasses a lot of Torah, but he has no Yirat Shamayim. It's compared to a person with a big crown on his head, he learned a lot of Torah, but Ekev Anava Yirat Chet, he has no shoes on his feet. Because his feet are bare. He has no humility. So that's the interesting comparison. So the question is, how do we get to this level of humility? How do we get to the level of Yirat Shamayim? So Rambam tells us, Hilchot Yesod HaTorah. He tells us, how does a person acquire two things? Two things. One thing is in the Shema, right? Haftat Hashem Elokecha. How do you love God? And number two, it says, Et Hashem Elokecha Tirah. Oto Tavo Vobo Tidbak. Right? It's a very famous pasuk in Devarim. Et Hashem Elokecha Tirah. The idea of fear of Hashem. How do you fear Hashem? How do you get to that level? So Rambam tells us, very simple way. When you look at nature and contemplate who created nature. I was thinking about, the other day we were talking about how the mitzvah of Hashavat HaVeda. There's a mitzvah Mishnah in Bava Kama, Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia, second chapter, deals with giving back lost objects. Elu Metziot, very famous, all kids in school learn this at a very young age, right? You learned Elu Metziot, right? So now, normally, money falls down and you find money on the street. You can keep it. Why? It has no siman, has no sign. And the guy who had it gave up hope. Because the people always check their pockets and they say, money, no sign, give up hope. So now the question is, what about if the money is in a pile? It's in a pile. The Mishnah says, Migdal. It's in the shape of a tower. So you have three coins, one on top of the other. We say that's a sign. A person who dropped money, it will never fall in a pile. I think it's such a small, such an interesting concept, right? Money will never fall in a pile. Such a simple thing, right? Take an evolutionist who says, not only does the money fall in a pile, the whole world is an accident. Imagine. Would any thinking human being say, it's possible for money to fall in a pile? What's the chance of money falling in a pile? Here's the mathematician. Three coins, huh?
Your answer is very high.
Odds are very high. Thank you. That's a very nice way of putting it. The odds are very high. It's practically impossible. You drop money from your pocket. It's not like you put it on the floor like this. You go like this. It actually fell from your pocket. It fell. Coins are dropping from your pocket. What's the chance of these coins falling in a pile? And the answer is, it's to the point where it's a siman. If it's a siman, it means it's impossible not to happen any other way. So if such a simple thing cannot fall by itself, how much more so this whole massive world? Well, we only see a portion of it. Because we only live within, I don't know, what, how far do we go a day? So today I went to Lakewoods, how far is that? So it's 30 miles? So you go within you live within a radius of 30 miles, unless you go in the plane, whatever. No, most people live within a radius of 30 miles. They know the 30 miles. You're just seeing a little chunk of the world. You mean you haven't seen the vastness of the world, unless you go, you're world traveling, you've been here, you've been there. You haven't seen half the animals in the world. You haven't seen a quarter of the animals. You haven't seen even 100th of the animals in the world, or 1,000th of the animals in the world. You haven't even seen a millionth of the insects in the world. We have no concept of how vast the world is, this world. It's a small world. It's a little ball compared to the sun. Compared to the Milky Way, compared to the universe, it's tiny. So it's amazing. We think we know everything. We think it's such a small thing. And yet evolution takes care of everything. It doesn't. See. So part of it is humility. My person says, you know what, I'm not the greatest. That's the problem with science, is a person induces them into this idea that I am the greatest. I'm the greatest. Not the greatest. We're not the greatest. So ekebara vayirotchet. The huge humility comes fear of Hashem. So a person who has no humility can never fear Hashem. Why? I know more than Hashem. Or a person will say, I don't even believe in Hashem. Why? Evolution. Science. So science is the basis of, gives a person gava, pride. And the scientist with the biggest pride, guess who? Guess who? Biologists. The biologists have the biggest pride. Why? They tell you, listen, there's no difference between the DNA of a rat and DNA of a human being. The DNA, the differences in the DNA are practically the same, and therefore there's no difference between a human being or a rat. There's no difference between a human baby and a chimpanzee baby. There's no difference. We can't see the soul. We have no concept of a soul. Therefore, there's no difference. The DNA is not. Right? They're the ones who come along with this evolution. A mathematician will never come along with evolution. He knows the chances of it happening like that is practically impossible. I mean, it is impossible. The chances are so great, it's impossible. So, how does a person get to love and fear of Hashem? So Rambam says, this is in Yesodei HaTorah, chapter 2. When a person contemplates Hashem's handiwork, the trouble is we're surrounded by artificial things. Surrounded by iPads, and I this, and I that. Right? We don't see Hashem's handiwork. We're sitting inside the room, we got artificial light. We're looking at the walls created by man. You're looking at the bookcases created by man. You're looking at the books even printed by man. How do I think about Hashem? Where's Hashem in the world? Where's nature in the world? Nature, well, we know it's hot outside. So we want to adjust it. We'll put on the air conditioning. We're living in an unnatural environment. When you live in an unnatural environment, you're far away from Hashem. Far away from Hashem. Why? Because you're one stage removed from the creator of the world. Hashem created the trees, and we got the closets. But now you're one stage removed from thinking about the Creator. We have the carpet, and Hashem created the sheep. So you take the wool and change it, wearing clothes. The wool. Or synthetic. Hashem created the oil, and we make synthetic material. So we're at different stages removed from Hashem. That, so how does a person, huh?
That brings to mind the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Tarnas Rufus, who they were asking whose deeds are greater,
yes,
man's or Hashem.
Right, exactly.
Rabbi Akiva says man. Right. Hashem created and we finished.
Right. Obviously, that's the Yetzer Hara talking. Hashem, you know, because why did he say that? Because soon as Rufus says, why are you guys doing Brit Milah? So to preempt Terence Rufus, he gave this whole thing, which is upside down logic. A man's deeds are greater. To preempt Terence. But obviously, that's not true. Hashem's deeds are much greater. How do you know? Hashem created from nothing. He can't do anything. So he was talking to Tunus Rufus according to Tunus Rufus's own psychology.
Well, when we,
he preempted him.
When we fulfill Hashem's mitzvot, we're partners with Hashem in creation.
Yeah.
So to speak. Even though obviously Hashem's deeds are greater.
Yeah, but there's no creation without Hashem.
Hashem gave
everything started with creation. He made us his partners. Yeah. Like he did us a favor.
Of course.
It's chesed.
He gave us the ability and the obligation to utilize this world and perfect it.
Yes. But the trouble is, when we perfect the world, we think we're perfecting the world, we're actually moving away from Hashem. Why? Because I'm making something from something else, and I forget who the original creator was. That's the danger. And that's why the brachot is so important. It grounds us, because it's grounding. This is the real creator. That's why Hamotzi is the highest bracha. Because it's the hardest bracha to say. How many melachot on Shabbat are based on making bread? 10. 10 out of 39. So a quarter of the melachot are bread. And yet a person says, Hamotzi lech, you Hashem bring the bread from the world. 1 second, I spent 10 melachot making bread. And I have to say that Hashem made the bread. Right? Hashem brought the bread out of the earth. He didn't even bring the wheat out of the earth. He brought the bread out of the earth. That's why Hamotzi covers everything. When a person gets to that level, he can say Hamotzi, that bracha covers everything. That's why Hamotzi is such a powerful bracha. A person has the awareness that Hashem gave us the abilities for everything to create the bread. So the Rambam tells us, amazing, go back into nature and you'll get fear of Hashem. And that's our big problem today. We're far away from nature. We're far away. I'll tell you, I've said this story many times, but when I was on my way to Montreal, and I try and go in the night because the day is crazy, the traffic is crazy. And it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had to stop for a little break. And there were no lights on in the pit, in this rest area. It was closed, it was shut. Some rest areas are open 24 hours a day. This rest area was closed, and it was pitch black. Get out of the car, look out, and say, wow! First time I've seen stars like that in my life. I've never seen stars like that, because it was pitch black. If you want to see stars properly, you have to go in somewhere where there's no light at all. Pitch black, there's no moon. Pitch black, you see thousands and thousands of stars. Say, wow! That's what Rama's talking about. That wow effect. Not the wow airline. But the wow effect. The wow effect of seeing nature. I say, wow, it's amazing. Nature's amazing. Just see a design in a blade of grass. Design in a flower. So many different kinds of flowers. See the design in the flower, design in the tree, design in the animals, the insects. It's amazing. Look at the design. So that's what the Rambam says. When a person contemplates Hashem's design, analyzes amazing, wondrous creatures, he witnesses Hashem's wisdom. Immediately he is filled with love and praise for Hashem and yearns to know him. That's this is not so obvious. The Rambam says in those days that was obvious. Person contemplates Hashem's nature will say, wow, Hashem is amazingly great architect. Hashem is amazingly great designer. Hashem is amazingly great computer programmer. Because he programmed the DNA. Imagine. It's all programmed. To reconstruct, imagine. Your skin breaks off. What do you do? It reconstructs. It's all reconstructing. It's amazing. And you make a car today and it gets a bang. It doesn't reconstruct. Right? A body gets a bruise. Reconstructs. Amazing. Miracles. These are miracles. Today you need how many specialties of medicine? We said 26, I think there is, specialties. Without the sub-specialties. The main specialties are like 26 areas of medicine just for the human body. 26 geniuses, experts in their field, just to cover the whole body. And that's just the main specialty, then the sub-specialties in the specialty. It's so complex, the human body is so complex. It's a tremendous machine, it's an amazing machine. So to not to respect it and say, just evolution. Can you try it? There was a story. The story is the rabbi sitting and there's a painting behind him. The guy says, I believe the world was created by chance. He says, you know, I was sitting over here one day and I had the empty paper on the floor and I knocked over the inkwell and that's how this painting came about. And the guy said, impossible. I said, well, you're saying more than that. You're saying the whole world was created by chance. If a painting can't be created by chance, how much could the whole world? There's one of the scientists, Arthur C. Clarke. Have you heard of Arthur C. Clarke? He was a scientist when I grew up. He also wrote a lot of books. He says if you have millions of monkeys typing at millions of typewriters in those days, you wouldn't produce even one single work of Shakespeare. And think about it. Producing one work of Shakespeare by chance is impossible. So imagine making the whole world by chance, how much more so. So anyway, why can a person not come along and deny that? How can a person deny that God created the world? Very simple. No humility. If he has no humility, then there's if a person has no humility, he can always deny, and never get Yirat Shamayim. You never have Yirat Shamayim. So when a person, the Rambam says, how do you get Yirat Shamayim? Go out and study nature. When a person studies nature, he says, a person is filled with love and praise of Hashem, he yearns to know him. And a person gets a profound sense of awe, just looking at the sky. It's like, awe. It's awesome. It's awesome. And then a person realizes that we are tiny. looking at the earth's curvature, look at the curvature of the earth, you realize how big the earth is, and you realize how small you are. And that gives a person humility. And that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Psalm number 8, he says, when I see the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon of the and the stars you have set in place, what is Ma'adam Ki Tidayehu? Who is man that you should know him, Hashem? Adam Lahevad Amav, Yaman Kazirover, his years are vanity and his years go like a shadow. That's what David HaMelech says. So why are you mindful of Hashem? Hashem, why are you mindful of man? And the answer is because we are Neshama. Hashem is not, doesn't care about our bodies. Obviously he does, but not to the same extent, because our souls are the ones that power us. Our souls are the things that power us. But we see over here, how does a person get to humility? And the answer is by studying nature. Today you see it's the opposite. The guys who study nature are the most proud, egotistic people. Doctors. And they deny God the most.
Doctors,
biologists. I just want to say biologists. There's a guy, Sir Francis Crick. Right? Crick, Watson, DNA. Crick, Watson, DNA. Princeton. So he came along and he says, you know what? We have to redefine life. Right? Why? Because when a person gets over 80, they start their functions start diminishing, and there's no point keeping them alive. Spending money to keep them alive, it's a waste of resources. So you know what? We'll define life as ending as 80. We'll just give them painkillers, that's it. Life ends at 80, painkillers. And we also, let's redefine life as when it starts as well. Why? Because so many kids are born with defects. Let's just bump them off, like the Trojans, right? Put them on the cliff. So we define life starting age of one. Why? Because a child is even less than a chimpanzee. A chimpanzee with a few days is jumping around. Child can't move. So we define life as 1 year old. This way the kids have defects. So then he has a problem. What's his problem? The mother's attached to the child. You can't just kill a child. The mother will go crazy. So well, we have to re-educate the mothers. Now Sir Francis Crick, this is the big scientist, so-called scientist. And that's why you need ethics in science. Without ethics, everything falls apart. So the question is, who makes the ethics? So we have to believe there's a God, and that God is the God of morality. God is a God of ethics. But how do you believe in God? And the answer is, a person needs Yad Shamayim, a person needs humility. Without humility, a person won't believe in anything. My father was a very big, and he knew how to argue with people. Could argue. Missionaries, bring them in, he says. Bring them in. He would keep them for 2 hours and drive them crazy. They leave the head, they were scratching their heads. So we had a builder. The builder was a Holocaust survivor's child. He said, I don't believe in God anymore. So he said, my father's trying to persuade you. Don't you believe in spirits? The soul, the spirits. He said, the only spirits I believe in is the spirits in a bottle. So what happened? His daughter intermarried, and that was the end of him. Gone. Gone with the wind. So where to get him? So the answer is, you can't run away. That's the story of Yonah, right? We're going to talk about Yom Kippur. A person can run, but they can't hide from Hashem. So humility is the very big strength. A humble person is a very strong person. The person thinks, you know, I'm humble means I'm very weak. No, it's very hard to be humble, and it takes a lot of strength to be humble. A person has to lower themselves to be humble. Who is the most humble person around? Moshe Rabbeinu. Vaish Moshe, anav meod mikol adam. Parsha Be'alotcha, when Miriam and Aaron talk about Moshe, Miriam talks about Moshe to Aaron. So it says over there, he who is like Moshe, like who sees Hashem panim panim. And then it says, Kavdi Moshe, Eben Eman, who, and there's no one humble more than him. Haish Moshe, anav meod mikol adam. He is the most humble person around. So now think about it, there's 3 million Jews basically came out of Egypt. And the Torah gives testimony that Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble of all these people. Imagine. Out of 3 million people. That's a big bar to cross, you know. If it's just 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, okay, he's the most humble, okay. So maybe there's other people outside the... No, he was the most humble of everyone around that time. So the question is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu reach this level of humility? And we know Moshe Rabbeinu also had Yirat Shemayim. Why? Because he says in the Torah, What does God want from you? Only to fear Him, that's all.
That's it.
So Gemara and Brachot asked the question, what do you mean, such fearing God is such a small thing? So Gemara answers, yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu it was very small. Why was it very small for Moshe? Because he had humility. Ekev anava yirat chet. So how does the humility bring him yirat chet? Because we measure ourselves against someone bigger than us. Right? Person says, you know what? I'm the top dog over here. I don't have to be humble because I'm above everyone else. Moshe Rabbeinu measured himself against Hashem. He had Hashem in his head, and he knew Hashem, he knew more about Hashem than anyone else. So listen, what is there to be proud about? I'm nothing compared to Hashem. Like Avraham Avinu says, Anochi afar va'efer. I'm dust. Compared to Hashem, what am I? I'm dust and ashes. Dust and ashes. And David HaMelech says, Anochi tolad v'lo ish. I'm like a worm. In front of Hashem, I'm like a worm. So we have to realize, what are they comparing themselves to? What gave them? Here they achieved so much in their lives. What they're saying is, compared to Hashem, compared to other people, maybe I'm something. But that's not grounds for humility, because I measured myself by a different yardstick. That's the key. We have to try and measure ourselves, look above this world. Try and measure ourselves by God's yardstick. Imagine. Hashem sustains all the Rishayim in the world. Just think about that. That's very humbling. Imagine. All the evil people in the world, Hashem just keeps on giving them. You have people who deny Hashem, rebel against Hashem, and Hashem is sustaining them. That's a lot of humility there. How can I compare? Someone disobeys me, well, I'm going to support him. Someone's rebelling against me, wants to kill me, I'm going to support him. Someone denies whatever, I'm going to support him. No, of course not. Hashem keeps on going. Hashem keeps on giving, giving, giving. It's a very humbling idea. Very, very humbling idea. And look at the different people that Hashem created. And look at the different animals He created. Look at the differences Hashem created. It's not a simple world God created. It's a very, very complex world. If Hashem was simple, very simple world, you know. Two people in the world, they have kids, and that's it. Four people in the world, like that's how it started off, right? Adam and Chava and the gardener. A very simplistic story, right? But look how complicated it is, the world. Okay, we're at chapter 8. Ki titen el libcha tamid. So now, the Ramban is telling us how to get to anavat, to fear of Hashem and humility. And he quotes the famous Pirkei Avot. Everything is in Pirkei Avot. Where is Pirkei Avot in the Mishnah? Which Seder? Seder Nezikin. It's in the order of damages. Why is it in the order of damages? And the answer is, if you want to avoid damaging, you have to learn ethics. Interesting. They put it right at the end of the Nezikin. It should be right at the top. It should be the beginning of Nezikin. Tell you how to avoid Nezikin. So first it tells you what Nezikin are, and then it tells you, if you want to avoid it, here, learn Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot. So Pirkei Avot. The fear of Hashem, he says, Ki titen libcha tamid. Me'ayin bata. This is the famous Mishnah in chapter 3, Mishnah 1 of Pirkei Avot. Akabia ben Mahalel el Omer. He says, if you think of these three things, you'll never sin. Number one. And the Ramban quotes him in the Gerah Ramban. You will get more fear of Hashem if you remember these things. Me'ayin bata. Where do you come from? Ule'ala ta'olech. Where are you going to? We're worms in our lifetime. How much more so when we're dead? Gosh, it's scary. It's hard to even think about. You know, we don't see the body decomposing. I was at the cemetery today. It's a custom. The Rama brings down a custom going to the cemetery before Rosh Hashanah. Why? And it's even though if you go to the cemetery, it's just hard for you to believe that you're going to end up one day there. It's hard for a person to internalize one day I'm going to end up there, you know. The Quran says a brachot. If a person wants to sin, think about the day of his own death. Hard to think about it. Yeah, in London, they have over there. Oh, wait, I was in London. I went to see my grandmother, Aleha Shalom. And they have over there outside. They have a bier. You know what a bier is? It's a metal carriage to put the coffin on. So that was enough reminder for me. Imagine they don't carry the coffin, they put them on a carriage. Because that cemetery is a very big cemetery. So they put on a coffin all the way from the chapel to the place where they get buried. Just seeing that was enough as a reminder. Plus, got to think about these things. Because normally you go to the cemetery, today was a beautiful day, you're in the cemetery, all you see is grass, beautiful, it looks great. A stone over here, a stone over there, it's beautiful. That's good. But it's hard to imagine. In Israel, it's much easier. Why? You go to a funeral, the body's there, wrapped in a shawl. You see the body. You see the shape of the body. Two men have to go into the grave to lower the body into the grave. And you just lower it on the rope, or you put the pulley, it goes right down, the machine pulls it. Over here, it's very, no one goes into the grave, now you don't see, the guy pushed the button, the coffin goes into the thing, you don't see anything. In Israel, it's much more lifelike. Really raised, yeah.
How do we counteract the other way around, that like, we're just going to die as some Israel and short life?
Yes. So it works both ways, and that's the tumat met.
Yeah.
There's tumat met, which is the defilement. So it depends on you. You have to know. It's not how it's going to affect you. Person says, I'm going to go to the cemetery, I'm going to get depressed, and I'm going to do more worse things. Don't go. By the way, I write an article about this. A lot of people say not to go to the cemetery. The one that goes is very much anti-going to cemeteries. He wouldn't even go to his own mother's cemetery. He was very anti-cemetery. Because spiritually, he says, a lot of mazikin around the cemeteries. A person not tahor should go to cemetery. Huh? Yes, Arizal also says that. Arizal told Rav Chaim Vitali, he says, go around. Don't go through the cemetery, go around to this grave. He was sent into a grave of a tzaddik. Tzaddikim, no problem, but the Rashaim, he got a problem. The souls are wandering around, mazikim. So, Akavi ben Mahalalel. So, this is the words of the Ramban are based on, a little bit, on Akavi ben Mahalalel. So, he just quotes two parts to it. He says, Me'ayin ba'ata ul'an ata olech. Just remember those two things. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? Akavi Mahalalel says three things. The third thing he adds is, who are you going to give judgment to? It's very topical before Rosh Hashanah. It's very hard to even imagine. That we are going before a bedin of Hashem and the angels. We're going before a bedin. We're going to the spiritual bedin. It's very hard to even imagine. It's scary. The person knows I have a court case. Remember my father, Alav HaShalom. He was driving in London. It's very, London, the streets are very narrow. And a motorbike bangs in from behind. And the motorbike guy sues him. Takes my father to court. True story. And my father, he's older that time, and he made me drive him. He says, I can't. I'm too nervous to drive. You drive me to court. So Baruch Hashem did the mitzvah. I drove my father to court, but he's trembling. There's no parking over there, so I'm waiting in the car and driving around the block. He goes into the court. I see him trembling going to the court. He comes out, he's all smiles. I said, Daddy Weiss, what happened? He said, they all told lies. The guy on the motorbike said one story. The policeman said a different story. They all told lies, and the judge threw them out. It should be that easy. But just saying, going to court, a physical court person trembles. How much more so? Imagine, some people tremble just having their car inspected. You're waiting in your car, especially in those days where the line was long. You remember those? And you had an inspection of your all kinds of things, a very, very hard inspection. The guy's in this. He's waiting to see. Trembling, you know, my car going to pass inspection. I don't know. I may have to pay lots of money to fix it. That's hard enough. But go to a court, life and death, capital punishment. Much harder. So, how much more so? How much in God's hands? We're all in God's hands. Everything's in Hashem's hands. Life, money, everything a person has, health, everything a person has, children, marriage, everything's in God's hands. And everything's going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the key to the whole year. We have to understand that. Now's the time to do teshuva, because don't wait for the last minute. It's the key to the whole year. So remember these three things. What are the three things? Number one is know where you're coming from. If you know where you're coming from, how can you get proud when you think of where you came from? Humble origins of a little piece of a little liquid. Where am I from? A liquid. Imagine a test tube, baby. Where are you from? A test tube. Where are you from? I'm from my mother's, whatever, my father, my mother. And where are you going to? I'm going to be buried in under the earth and go back into environment. I don't even think about it. The worms. Worms are going to bite me. In our cemetery over here, it's worse. We got groundhogs. Go right into.
It's faster.
It's faster. I don't know. Can't even think. It's hard to think about it. You know. Groundhogs. So you can't. The body's being eaten by groundhogs now. The guy will tell you, listen, he says, okay, but no one knows what's going on. Well, your soul knows what's going on. It's very painful to the soul to see that. The body. Anyway, so that's, again, humility. Who am I? Where am I coming from? Where am I going to? What am I going to be proud of? What do I have to be proud of? So when a person ponders, Masilat Yesharim says, his earthly nature and lowly beginnings, why should we be proud? Why should we be proud? When a child is young, he's like a pig, he's on the floor, putting everything in his mouth. When he grows old, he's got to remember where he was. And eventually, he'll get back to that stage again. I've seen it. You go to an old age home. The guy has no teeth. Sitting in a wheelchair. He can't walk. He has diapers on. Sorry. Goes back to the same thing. It's a parabola. Right? Parabolic curve. You get bigger, 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 stronger. So you see a baby. It's interesting to see them both together. The baby and the elderly person. They like it. They love each other. My mother loved babies. Put the baby on the lap. They get along. There's like, because they're both in similar stages. It's amazing. One's starting, one's ending. But they both have similar functions because the mind goes and the body goes. And okay. Pirkei Avot again, chapter 4. Of the Levitas of Yavne says. Have a me'od me'od, says Anav. Be very humble, exceedingly humble. Because the end of man is womb. So we're supposed to say, you know, I've got tons of money. I can buy this, I can buy that. But you know, it's going to help me for 20 years. If you're lucky, if you live for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, but eventually. You know, the pharaohs are the biggest fools. Because they thought they could take it with them. The pharaohs are the biggest fools. They built these massive pyramids. They built these treasure houses. They killed their own slaves, took their slaves, their pets, their furniture, everything with them. Go to the British Museum. You'll see all the pharaohs over there. There's a whole room of pharaohs. You been there? It's amazing. When I went there first, they never even had cases for the pharaohs. They were just bodies lying over there, and, you know, wrapped with bandages, and the bandages are peeling off. You can see the skin, and you can see the... Now they put boxes around, they put glass boxes around so no one can touch them. So I could actually go up to the pharaoh and put his beard. In my time. Imagine, they robbed them. So the pharaoh, where was left of the pharaoh? Nothing. The British came, they stole all the pharaohs. They kidnapped all the pharaohs, can you imagine? So instead of taking all his stuff with him, he's left with nothing. Can't take with him. So Rav Mordechai Gifter, he was the head of Telz Yeshiva. He went to Har HaZeitim. He said, and this is known, a very big segula, and my own grandparents had their own tachrichim wherever they went. They had a box with their shrouds ready. Imagine, that was the old custom. And it's a segula for long life. A person has their shrouds ready, is ready for their death, don't die. These guys are not ready for the death, die. What does that mean? It means when they have their death ready, it means they're humble now. They know what the end is. They're ready for the end. There was a custom I saw in Yugoslavia. The Ladino speakers in Yugoslavia, when a man reached the age of 80, they would measure him for a suit. What kind of suit? Takrachim, shrouds. And they'd make a party, and there'd be food and drinks. And it's a wild custom. The person's got to realize that that's the end of man. That they're getting towards the end is the end of man. There's nothing to be proud about. So when death becomes more tangible, he says, maybe a person will improve.
Well, probably starts to depress him a lot.
It's very depressing?
Yeah, you would think, like, why food and drink celebrating? I mean, that's kind of the opposite.
Because, in a sense, a person reaches the age of 80, they achieved something. So that the Gemara says, we're crazy. The world is upside down. Why? When the ship leaves the harbor, people celebrate. The Titanic, right? Leaves the harbor, the big party, and they break the champagne, and they celebrate. The celebration should be when the ship ends and lands at its place, in safety. Same thing, the Gemara says. When children are born, people celebrate. And people die, they should cry. They cry. It should be the opposite round. When a child is born, you don't know what he's going to do. Because there should be trepidation. Is he going to survive, not survive? Live, not live? Be tzaddik, rasha? We don't know. When a person reaches the age of 80 and is a tzaddik, oh, that's a good sign. You can make a party. Achieve something, it's like. So it's an interesting custom. I don't know the source of the custom, it's an interesting custom. And we have to fight the Yetzer Hara. Rigzu ve'al tehetahu. Person's going to fight and not give in. Always fight the Yetzer Hara and be triumphant. And everything is Yetzer Hara. Everything, we're surrounded by the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is right inside. Even the quality of the mitzvah we talked about, person's going to do the right thing. How are you going to do it? With what attitude are you going to have? The Yetzirah is battling you on every side of it. Even though you want to do it, the Yetzirah will make sure you do it with the minimum. we were talking about earlier on Shabbat, we said, everything is fixed, all your sustenance in the year is fixed, except for what you spend on for Shabbat, Yom Tov, and tuition, the children. And that's what one says, Beitzah. So can you imagine, the Ezra says, listen, don't spend so much on Shabbat. You're spending too much money, you're going to break the budget. Okay, but the Gemara says you can spend extra, and Hashem will help you. So even on that, how much electricity to use on Shabbat, how much lights to put on, all these things are, there's a battle going on all the time. There's a battle going on. Obviously, a person's got to use their brains as well. But every even a mitzvah a person has, what kind of talit will I buy? Mehuda, lo mehuda, tefillin, mehuda. It's such a big battle inside. Because you know, I'm going to buy brand new tefillin. So you can buy $500, you can buy $600, $700, $800, $1,000, $1,500, and it keeps on going. And it's a battle. Every step is a battle. Don't think it's not a battle. It's a battle. Every step. So if the person's keeping Shabbat, how do you keep Shabbat? You sleep too much on Shabbat? You learn enough on Shabbat? The quality of Shabbat? So it's not just, are you doing the mitzvah? It's also the quality of the mitzvah, the yetzirah. Yetzirah is everything. Why are you going to sleep? I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. I get up early for Sarichot. That's a whole different way of sleeping. It's a whole different level of sleeping. It's a whole different level of serving Hashem. We learned this Gemara. It's famous Gemara in Brachot. Daf Yud Chet says a Sadiq. There's a Hasid on Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, he gave away his last gold coin to a pauper. And there was no money in the house. Goes home. His wife starts screaming. So it says that night he went to sleep in a cemetery. Okay? I went through the whole story. So the question is, why did he sleep in a cemetery? Or his wife? Okay, so he had a fight with his wife. If you have a fight with your wife, maybe you sleep in a different bedroom, but don't you sleep in the cemetery?
You didn't have a couch.
You didn't have a couch. Rabbi Salanta says an amazing thing. He was getting angry. His wife's screaming at him. He was getting angry. He wanted to lose his temper with her. How do you control your temper? Remember the day of your death. He was working on himself. He went to the cemetery to learn how to be humble. And by the way, he heard amazing things in the cemetery. And he heard how to make money in the cemetery. Hashem rewarded him. That's what he says. Chassid recognized his anger represented a shortcoming in his character. He wasn't humble enough. He couldn't live through Rosh Hashanah without fear. It's so hard. It's so hard. You feel slighted by someone. A person, you know, it's good. It's good kapara. Best kapara in the world is to feel slighted. And to overlook it. And you walk past the guy and the guy ignores you. But you say, Baruch Hashem, I got kapara today. That kapara is worth many different kaparot. So the person feels slighted. It should be good for their humility. Okay, I'm not such a big shot. So he says he slept in the cemetery to overcome his flaw of pride. And that's what we're talking about. It's a very high level. Bezrat Hashem will reach this level of Reshit Chochmah Yirat Hashem. But even above that is the humility to have you at Shem. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akasha. Amen. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lizon Shafiyan Transport Shneemar. Adonai Chafes Levan Zikro.